We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And I want to welcome to the program Evan from Queens. Evan, you are on the Fan.
Steve, second time, long time. Thanks for having me.
And, of course, this is, as advertised, Evan Drellick of The Athletic. And I would imagine, I was thinking a little while ago, a little to the left of center, I was thinking that if you work for The Athletic, you better be athletic yourself, and I hope you are.
Oh, I certainly didn't gain, 30 or 40 pounds in quarantine, Steve. That definitely wasn't the case. That would never happen to me.
Yes. Well, are we going to have a conclusion to Major League Baseball? Maybe I should qualify that somewhat and ask you if we're going to have a conclusion to Major League Baseball this week. 3 minutes, it seems like 3 minutes into the sport, into what we waited all what seemed like a lifetime, we finally get baseball and we can't get through one weekend. Are we going to get through this week? What do you think?
I'm not the most emotional guy these days, a cold-hearted reporter and all that, but today I was pretty deflated to have this happen as quickly as it did. And when Rob Manfred gets up there on MLB Network and does his kind of stoic thing that he does and says, look, this is what we thought could happen at some point, he's right. That's true. They went into this knowing that an outbreak was certainly possible on one team. But again, to have it happen so quickly, it's really deflating. And Ken Rosenthal and Jason Stark, who are my athletic colleagues and also very athletic themselves, they wrote today about what this does moving forward. And if you are the kind who wants a silver lining out of this, they had managers point out to them that maybe this is the wake-up call. It's kind of unfathomable that people would actually need a further wake-up call here. But if you had a guy who might not be adhering to the rules quite as strictly or was thinking that this isn't going to affect him, well, wake up, newsflash. You better be damn careful in following these protocols if you're a baseball player.
Now, where do you think? I mean, we all know that Miami was in Atlanta last Wednesday. And we know, right away you think Florida because they're a hot spot. I mean, the virus is just having its own way throughout Florida, as the virus is in so many other states as well. California, we know, Arizona and Florida, and I believe Texas is there, Georgia. I mean, too many states, but Florida being a true hot spot. Yet Miami was in Atlanta, and then Miami goes to Philadelphia, and Atlanta comes to New York. Should we be connecting the dots here? And what about testing? How quickly are we getting the results? Are we getting the results quick enough?
Well, certainly the first few days when camp opened, you had people complaining about the tests, and now we've move beyond that. The testing seems to have settled in somewhat, but it's different situations. When you have an outbreak like this, every team has to have a local plan and an ability to get tests done quickly locally. So they have this testing center in Utah that they're using for most tests. But separate of that, when something happens or there's a need, every team is supposed to be able to get tests done quickly. So a lot of this is haphazard. They're doing this as they go and they're figuring it out as they go. There was no specific protocol in there for exactly how they're handling this situation now. It's part of the reason they made this joint committee between the league and the union to handle this stuff as they move forward. The 100-plus pages is supposed to be something of a living, breathing document, because in their defense, if I may, mm-hmm. it is difficult to figure out every possible situation ahead of time. But when it comes to testing, you're supposed to be able to get expedited tests when you need them, particularly locally.
Yeah. And, of course, you test positive, and then there's tracing. Like, where did Miami get this? And did they get it in Atlanta? Did they carry it with them from Miami to Atlanta for the exhibition game and then on to Philadelphia? And what about the Phillies? I mean, we know about the couple of games that were canceled tonight. And what happens now in Philadelphia before the Yankees can play there? We know that Miami for the next couple of nights is done. I mean, they're going to have two games away, two games they're not going to play. And we haven't got the cancellation, but if you only have about 6 days off, what does this say with the schedule if these postponed games are to be replayed? Is there going to be enough room to replay them?
Based on the number of days in the schedule, you're going to have a hard time doing it. I can't say at this point for sure it's impossible that they could end up replaying it. What needs to happen with the immediate future is they get their tests back, they get the results back, right. And then that makes tomorrow a big day. Whether or not they discover more positives will influence whether we have more immediate cancellations. But what's troubling about this, and this is obvious, but in every situation you're pointing out here, we don't know where it started. We don't know what city the patient zero was right. with this team. At the end of the day, we're doing cost-benefit analysis with people's health. We're saying 5 days or X number of days is enough for people to be out, and then you can come back. We'll contact trace up to a certain point, but we don't have to go back any further. It's all about where you draw a line in the sand if you're Major League Baseball. I can tolerate this, but I can't tolerate that. And I think that's what's so unsettling about it, is the willingness to tolerate some serious risk to people's health and not others. You know, where are they drawing the line? And lo and behold, they didn't prescribe it in that 100-page document they put out.
Right. And it could be difficult to figure where Miami got it, whether they got it coming from Florida, whether they got it on a bus, whether they got it on a plane, whether they got it at the airport, whether they got it at the hotel. I mean, and now with the Yankees and you know, obviously with their cancellation with Philadelphia, the Yankees, I understand, were going to go to Philadelphia and sanitize the visitors' locker room with their own people. Well, now they're not going to do that. That is going to have to be done. And one thing that I did notice watching the Yankees and with the Metropolitans, of course, over the weekend, that they were high-fiving. There were players.
Everybody's high-fiving.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, and you would think, and no one except D.D. Gregorius, maybe wearing a mask. We saw Clint Frazier in an exhibition game against the Mets wear a mask and hit a home run. We're wondering if that might be something these ball players want to entertain. But they're in the dugout. Of course, they were. We all thought in the beginning they were going to be sitting 6 feet apart in the stands behind the dugout. However, you got the cardboard cutouts there. And so they're not sitting in the stands at all. And you got them in the dugout. They're high-fiving. And they're not wearing a mask. And they're hugging each other on home runs. I mean, you're asking for trouble. And this is just watching the first weekend of the 60-game season.
There are probably different behaviors, different degrees of risk with different behaviors, right? If you said to me, would you rather have a guy go to a strip club or you know, sit on right. the bench where the red tape is it's probably a little safer for him to sit where the tape is on the bench. But certainly from an optics perspective, if you are not adhering to what should be very easy at the ballpark, on TV, in front of people, both your teammates who you're trying to keep safe and the public, who I think if there's ever a time for baseball players to realize they influence people, it might be now. You can argue in a general setting, does somebody have the responsibility to care about their influence on kids? That's for another day. But right now, people are paying attention to how baseball is coming back. And if you're being careless or kind of ignoring some of the details that you're supposed to be paying attention to now, what does that mean away from the field, when I think you could argue it's more serious, where you're around these players normally anyway, your teammates. All right, you know, if you're within a few feet for a few minutes, it's probably going to happen at some point. But the lack of attention to detail has struck me, even as guys are squirting hand sanitizer when they get to first base.
Yeah.
Even as you're seeing some of these kind of, dare I say, even cute gestures, first baseman putting his mask on, newly deciding to do that today. Yeah, that's nice, but let's see the follow through as much as we can.
Yeah. You know, I get the feeling, and this is a little bit of a stretch, I get the feeling, well, all right, say more Miami Marlins test positive, and they have to shut the team down and out. I get the feeling the Major League Baseball could live without the Miami Marlins, but certainly couldn't live without the Dodgers or the New York Yankees, if God forbid they were to have these many people, with players and staff included, of course, testing positive.
Yeah, the money quote today, at least in my humble opinion, from Rob Manfred, was saying that this isn't exactly the nightmare category. That the one team getting exposed isn't the thing that's going to set it off. And there was a doctor, medical expert that the Athletic spoke to, who was pointing out that it probably would at this point be an overreaction to cancel the whole thing down. But once you get to two teams, or heaven forbid, three teams, then it becomes really difficult. That you essentially have one that you can play with. Whether the Yankees getting it, the Dodgers, a big market team getting it, would hasten this. You know, as cynical as I am, I want to think that that's not the case. What I think would hasten it, sadly, is hospitalization. You know, we're not aware of them at this point, if there have been some here. But that's where the dividing line seems to come in. Is that what they're waiting for? Are they waiting for the crash before they fully put up the stop sign? That's, again, the hardest part of it.
How possible do you think it is, and of course I don't think any of us really knows, but how possible do you think it is that some teams are not going to get to 60 games if we do get to September 27th?
There are different ways you could not get to 60 games. You know, it's technically possible you could have guys on teams that fall out of it opt out. And I guess at that point the team would continue to play, but you would have to worry about competitive integrity if the medical risk seems to be increasing or staying steady. If you have continuous outbreaks, are you going to have guys who just say, I don't want to participate in this anymore? And if you end up having a team like the Marlins or bad teams that go through this, you're not going to have any incentive to reschedule the game, just like you wouldn't in a regular 162-game season. If you're a rainout for a crappy team, nobody cares if you end up making up that game. The problem is when more or less every game is going to count here, if not for you, for your opponent, then you might have to make it up. So you can't rely on that, well, if a team is out of it, we don't need to play this quite as often as you might be able to in a normal setting.
What do you think? Another question a little bit with the stretch. What comes first, 16 teams in serious October baseball or 16 teams having to leave the sport because of too many players and staff members testing positive?
I'm going to go with 16 teams in the playoffs because we're not going to get to 16 teams having to drop out. I can't, right. Even if you have one team drop out, Manfred intimated that that might not be the point at which you have to cut off the season, because mm-hmm. you can drop out for a period of time, I guess is the theory. But this is where the lack of public explanation makes it hard for me and makes it hard, I would think, for listeners and fans, because it's unclear exactly what they would do. If this persists with the Marlins, are you shelving the Marlins for 2 weeks? Would you just take an entire team out of play and let everybody else continue to play? That to me sounds crazy, frankly, because if it's so bad for one team that you say they're not coming back, how could you in good faith look mm-hmm. at all your 29 other teams and say, no, you should keep going? So it's unfortunately, your guess is as good as mine and Joe Schmo next to you on the street.
I really was asking that question with the 16 teams or 16 postseason teams. It's very far-fetched that 16 teams would have to cancel what season there would be if 16 teams had to cancel to begin with. What happens now? Those testing positive need two negative tests 24 hours apart, from what I understand, and then they got to show no symptoms for another 72 hours, from what I understand, and then they still have to receive the okay from team doctors. Does that seem accurate to you?
Yeah, and here's where that gets a bit interesting. Even before this Marlins thing came up, there's a footnote on the page where they describe exactly what you just said mm-hmm. that says if somebody is testing positive but not showing any symptoms and doctors clear him, there is a path for him to come back. That doesn't necessarily mean in every case they would clear him. It doesn't necessarily mean that they would bypass having those two consecutive negative tests. But let's say, outbreaks aside, let's say we get to the postseason. Pie in the sky. We get to the postseason. Angels are in the playoffs. Everybody's going to be in the playoffs, right? Mike Trout, game one, gets a positive test, but he shows no symptoms. And the doctors look at him and say, he's fine. There's no medical reason we should pull him out in these very fine doctors' estimation. What happens at that point? Do they still sit there and go, because he got this positive test mm-hmm. on our biggest stage in October, we need to pull him out, our biggest star in the entire sport? It seems to me in that agreement that there is wiggle room on that. But yes, you're correct. In most situations, 72 hours without a fever, without symptoms, two tests that show you don't have it after it showed you did.
And sometimes, from what I understand, there are false negatives. And some days you can test positive and then take a second or rather test negative, and then, God forbid, the next day you test positive. And so this virus is a little bit tricky and a little bit. One day it's one thing with you, with the next day it's another test result. And sometimes this can be not only as confusing, but as certainly as dangerous as it is, but certainly as confusing, because there are false negatives. There are so many factors within contracting this virus to begin with.
Yes, and when you think about guys testing positive, I've had moments here where I go, all right, they're testing positive, but they're not showing symptoms. Are they able to play? They might be able to play. Yeah, a conversation with myself, but you have to go back to, even if that person is fine in the moment, A, you don't know the long-term effects, but B, it's also about who they spread it to, right? Even if your Mike Trout can play, mm-hmm. To kind of go back to my previous point, well, what if he, by playing, passes it on to a coach who's older, who's not in as good a shape? What if he passes it on to another player who himself doesn't show any symptoms, but then that player passes it on to his family? You know, it's not as direct as evaluating the baseball impact in the moment. And I have to remind myself of that sometimes. You know, it, it, you want to just look at it from the team lens, and it really does require the broader lens of who all these people are coming into contact with.
It's all about the money, isn't it?
Just like radio, Steve, isn't it always? It's always about the money. And, you know, Rob Manfred is the top lawyer in baseball who's worked for these owners for a very long time. And there's business interests on both sides. If the players don't play, who's paying them? You know, they've already gotten the money that they would receive if games are canceled. So in every sport and in every business right now, it's the same thing. It's a cost-benefit analysis with people's health.
Do you like the universal DH, part A, and part B, you like the guy at second base to start the top of the 10th inning?
The universal DH I'm better with at this point, and it's certainly going to help the Mets this year. The guy at second base bugs me. I haven't watched it yet. I don't want to watch it. I used to love being at extra inning games. I left game five in 99 early. My father took me, and I never let him live it down. We left, I think, in the 13th inning, and, you know, we heard Gary's call right here in the car on the way back home. Mm-hmm. You know, you take away extra innings long term, I think you will lose some of the romanticism there, and I do think I think that's valuable. I get that players in a 162-game regular season aren't going to want to stay up until 3 a.m. playing 20 innings. I get it, but I have a harder time giving up the extra innings than I do the DH.
Mm-hmm. When the Metropolitans win the World Series, will fans be allowed to go to the parade?
I don't think so. I was walking with a friend earlier tonight, you know, walking by all these restaurants that have the plastic put up for where the cashiers are. When is that going to disappear? When are we going to be able to walk into a normal business again and have it feel normal? It might be as late as 2022. You know, it's not a 21 thing, at least if I were to guess here today. So I can't see any mass gathering like that happening in 2020. That's just my gut. I haven't asked anybody that question.
Let me ask you a final question, and then I'll let you go, and I can't thank you enough, of course. You know that if you were Manfred, would Manfred mandate, or should he mandate, wearing a mask for players?
My gut is that would end up being an optics move rather than the thing that would save the season for them. I just don't see that as being the thing that would make the difference in whether this gets finished. And I've all along felt that this juxtaposition between the NBA and MLB, the fact that you have these two massive, powerful entertainment businesses worth billions of dollars, and they did not both go with the same plan in the middle of a pandemic, is really striking. You would think that there would be a prevailing logic where it makes sense to do the bubble or it makes sense to not do the bubble. But to have them go such different routes gives a lot of room for one side, for one sport, to be proven right or wrong. I mean, both could be proven wrong. You could have both of them shut down. But, you know, in the early jockeying here, MLB doesn't look good. You know, you're sitting there going, why didn't they go for a bubble plan? And there are complicated answers to that. They were looking at an Arizona and Florida plan. Guess what? Arizona and Florida are in rough shape. Well, where's Disney? Yeah. Where's basketball playing? They're still getting it done. So I don't think it's about the masks, but I do think Rob Manfred's Heine is on the line, frankly, in a lot of ways when you look at everything that this commissioner has been through in recent times. All eyes are on him.
Yeah. And we hope that all eyes for the next couple of months will be on the game itself. Evan, I can't thank you enough for a couple of minutes of your time. Do stay safe and sound and healthy, and do take care of yourself. And hopefully we can do this again sometime soon and talk baseball. How about that?
That'd be wonderful. Thank you, Schmooze. Talk soon.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.